Good morning, saints, and good morning, sinners. I invite you to take your Bible and turn to the second book of the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, beginning with chapter 3, verse 1. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 and following, as we address the topic, getting back on track. I invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. There are significant events in Holy Scripture, significant callings, like the calling of Abraham, and now the calling of Moses. And because these servants of God were faithful, we're here today. One life can affect a nation. One life can affect a generation. It begins with you, and it begins with me. Hear now the word of God, this familiar story, hear it again for the first time. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Horeb, synonymous with Sinai, Mount Sinai. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land. A land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. The name you shall call me from generation to generation. This is the word of God. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, it can change your life and my life today. Almighty God, just give us Jesus. In the strong and holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We live in extraordinarily difficult times. Korea, North Korea, and the United States poised in a very difficult situation, a very ominous situation. We should pray for our president. We should pray for the leaders in America. And I say to you that if God can go to a foreign land and turn a bush on fire, He can go to Korea and speak to the leader there. We must pray for that leader, and we must pray for the Korean people. I think about those who have suffered greatly and immensely in Hurricane Harvey. Thousands of people affected. Numerous deaths, months, maybe years of recovery. I'm sure I've done what you have done and called and texted and instant messaged those that I knew were there and have called, talked, texted, and prayed with them. We live in difficult times. I think about the racial divide in our country that is at a fevered pitch. And I think this is what we are leaving and giving to our children and our grandchildren and their children. I think on this Labor Day, where we give God thanks for our calling and we give God thanks for our work, that it is very important that we address again our calling in Christ Jesus. So what I want to do today, and do very briefly, is to look at the aspect of calling from the viewpoint of Moses' life. And I'm going to ask some questions that I would appreciate if you would write down, and that if you would continue to dialogue with this text around your table of devotions at home, weekly, daily devotions, and around your devotions and conversations with your families. The first question is this: who does God call? Who does God call? First of all, He calls an individual. He speaks to every man and woman of God. In the case of Moses, he was a shepherd. He tended a flock, took care of them, and protected them in the land of Midian. He was 80 years old. Now, Moses lived to be 120 years old. The writer of the book of Exodus knows that we know that. And he's bringing up a point that God is calling a man out of where he is into another aspect of life when he has lived already two-thirds of his life already. While no one here today knows how long we have left, no one at any age is beyond God placing a direct and extraordinary calling upon his or her life. Moses was also an Israelite who at the time of this text was living in a foreign land. He had been raised for part of his life in Egyptian royalty. You know that story. But how did he see himself at this time? He was a murderer. He had killed an Egyptian, called out by name by an Israelite, fled the country of Egypt, so he was a fugitive on the run. Who does God call? He calls men and women who are broken. Men and women who have a track record of brokenness. But God sees through our brokenness to our potential. And the long finger of God says, I need you. The second question is this. How does God call? How does God call someone out? How does God speak? I think Scripture is fairly clear in this. He uses a multitude of ways to meet each of us where we are. But in the case of Moses, God spoke to him through his faithfulness to his calling of being a shepherd in a foreign land. And Moses was out on the far side of the wilderness. I think that's important that the writer would include this. He was not on the edge. He was a long way into the wilderness. And that speaks to where you and I may be today, a far way from God, having at one time been faithful to God, but disillusioned, disappointed, we opt out and we go and do something that is safe. We're living on the far side, but notice what this text says. Next to the mountain of God. Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. Later, where will the Ten Commandments be given? It's in the wilderness. When those cold winds are blowing against us, when night seems so dark, when loneliness seems so real, that God shows up with a mountain of God and speaks to us. And it is the burning bush that God speaks to Moses. Now, in my study for this sermon, I discovered again how much literature, how much ink there is about the burning bush. The bush burned, but it didn't burn up. Out of that bush, God spoke. Now, what is the writer trying to make the point? What is God trying to get across to us? We learn in the book of Hebrews that God is a consuming fire. A consuming fire. So fire that consumes. But yet here, God does not consume. Could there be a word of grace in this depiction, this reality of the burning bush, that God could consume? God could say, you have not been faithful over 40 years of your life. You were 40 when you left Egypt. You are now 80 years old. For 40 years you have been denying what I called you to do. You've been on the far side, but instead that consuming fire does not consume. And out of that fire, God speaks. And when God speaks, Moses takes off his shoes, he comes close, he falls on his knees, he does not look up because no one can look face to face with God. I don't know how God calls you. My burning bush came on a molehill where I looked at people that I loved. And I saw that one mill after the other was closing down. And they had no hope. They had no livelihood. For my mother, the burning bush came when her mother had trouble with her nerves. And at age 4 and age 5, my mother would take her mother outside and would walk around with her. And she said, there must be hope for people like my mama. And from there was launched a calling of nursing. For my father, age 29, he had breathed the last breath of air into his daddy's lungs. He had to keep the farm going because his brothers were at war. And Hortense Woodson, the noted historian of Edgefield County, looked at my daddy and said, "Marion, God has his hand on you and you cannot deny it." I say to you that God gives each of us a burning bush. And out of that burning bush, he calls you by name. Calls you by name. Now, the third question is this. On what basis does God call? Who is he to call anyone whatsoever? Who is he to call any one of us whatsoever? Over and over in what I just read to you, I think on three occasions, God defines who he is. "I am the God of your father Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. I am the one who called the father of the faith out, and I am still on the throne and I'm calling you. I am who I am." Now, while I am no scholar on Hebrew, that phrase, "I am who I am," has the same derivation of the name of the covenant God, which is, who is, Yahweh. I am the covenant God, and I will be faithful to who I am. On what basis does he call? Not only on who he is, but he has heard the cry of his people who are suffering. He has heard the cry. He has seen it. He has heard it. And he is concerned. He's heard the cries about Korea. He's heard the cries of Hurricane Harvey. He's heard the upheaval that is spreading across our land like a cancer over racism. He has heard the battles of classism in our society where we segment and augment one another like pieces of chattel property. And so he calls you by name. And he calls me by name. And lastly, what is that call? What is that call? You can see it in verse 10. "So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt into a good and spacious land. A land flowing with milk and honey. A land that we will come to know as Promised Land." When God calls, we are to get up and to go. He gives us a destination to help liberate people from oppression and to bring them in to the promises of God. And look who he used. An 80-year-old man. Does God not have sense? Shouldn't he have used a hip 25-year-old? Someone that knows the technology? Someone that knows the language of the day? Far too many of us have said, "I've done what I can do, and that is it. Let someone else do it." But God chose a murderer. God chose a fugitive. God chose a senior adult to rise up and make a difference. This is how God changes the world. He uses persons just like you and me. That's it. He redeems us. Oh, he restores us. He reclaims us. He calls us. He sends us into hurting humanity to deliver them from their suffering and to bring them into the promise, the future that God has for them. So here's my question. In this tumultuous world where you have enough problems of your own to hide out, Moses had his problems. But God is calling him like he's calling you to look beyond your problems into a higher purpose and to let him use your past and redeem your past to help deliver someone who's hurting and to let them know that they are God's beloved and God has a purpose and a promise for them. On this Labor Day, may we rediscover that God calls someone like us to do extraordinarily difficult things just because. Almighty God, precious Lord and tender Spirit, just give us Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a time to get back on track. Many of you before me started out in the pilgrimage on fire for God. But somewhere along the line, it became just a thing to do. Or perhaps you were disillusioned. Saw a little bit too much in the church. The fire has dwindled. It's barely a flicker. And God is wanting to fan that flame again. God is wanting to redeem your past. He's wanting you to step up, to hear his voice, and to be his agent of change in this world. Someone, you, and me. Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 658, Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone?
special time. It's always a holy time to introduce those who joined the church. And Derek and Shay, would you please come? And Landon and Lainey, would you please come and stand beside your parents? This is Derek and Shay Vinson. Derek and Shay Vinson. They have two precious children, Landon and Lainey. And their story is precious. God has walked through this with this family, through sickness and illness. And God is the healer, is he not? He is the healer. And they come today from a sister Baptist church, Derek and Shay, for membership in our church. And among the many reasons that I love them is when little Lainey has been sick, they've allowed me to come into their life and to share life with them and to see God's faithfulness and to see God's healing. Another reason I love them is they were very close friends with Bert and Leanne Henderson. Shay taught with Leanne. So is there a motion that we receive Derek and Shay and that we pray for Landon and Lainey that one day they too will invite Christ into their heart? Is there a motion? Is there a second? All who will commit to pray for, to love, and to encourage, and to uplift them, would you please stand and say, welcome home, Vinson family. Look up in the balcony, look on the main floor, the choir. I'm just overwhelmed today. Your dear family, your faithfulness, your love has overwhelmed me over and over again. And we want to welcome you in just a moment. In the narthex, I would ask you to share a word of blessing with this family. A word of blessing. And a blessing is a spoken word that lets them know how you see them through God's eyes. Very important that we bless each other. But right now, would you be seated just for a moment? Because we want to have just a moment of family time. I want to ask, if you will, to give me your ear. Every now and then we have what we call family time when we need to talk about one or two things. So if you have a pen and a paper, I'm going to go through some very important things that I want you to hear and to pray about and then to commit. Number one, we are in the midst of deacon nominations. The Bible is clear in Timothy and Acts about the purpose and qualifications of a deacon. Go to Acts, go to Timothy, pray, discern, because these are spiritual under-shepherds of the church. And if someone gives your name, I ask you to be prayed up and ready to say yes, if God so leads you. So please, deacon nominations. Number two, Hurricane Harvey has wrecked parts of Texas, Houston, and beyond. We have discerned how to reach out. And next Sunday, in fact, for the next two Sundays, we're going to give our church, we're going to have the opportunity to give toward the relief efforts. And we're going to give you two options. Number one, through the South Carolina Baptist Convention Disaster Relief. They will make connections with Texas Baptist. I have talked to Texas Baptist about how that the money will be used, I'm very much at peace. But for those who like to have feet more on the ground in a help effort, I have contacted Tallowood Baptist Church, a very large Baptist church in Texas. The pastor there is Dr. Dwayne Brooks. He and I were at Baylor together. He has been there longer than I have been here. I called him and I talked with him and I prayed with him. That church sounds like a larger version of ourselves. For those on his staff, they have two full-time ministers of missions. Already on their website, they have where you can tell what you need if you're in Houston and in need, or if you can volunteer help. They're opening up their facility for teams to come in. They're also aware that many people throughout the U.S. may give money through them. And he has promised me total accountability of what money we give. So, you want to give through a local church to a local church? Tallowood Baptist Church. If you want to give through our denomination, both of these, 100% of the monies will go directly to the relief efforts. I've made sure of that. 100% of the monies given will go toward relief efforts. Number three, I want to thank you for your overwhelming response last week to our plea for the golf cart ministry, the greeter ministry, and our new parking lot greeter ministry. Your names have been shared. We're meeting now to include you and to empower you to be the first impression of our church. Thank you for responding. Number four, we give you an opportunity to sign up again today. How many of us are blessed week after week with our adult choir ministry? We're blessed. They prepare. This is their ministry to us. This is their leadership in worship. Today, if you're sensing that God is calling you to be a part of this ministry, I want you to sign up. We're hoping for 25 people to sign up for adult choir ministry. Will you be one of those? Sign up immediately after the church. There's another sign up I want to give you, and that is next Sunday, we begin again First University, an intentional, intensive discipleship effort to help you think about the Christian faith. We're offering two courses. One is Introduction to the Old Testament. The second is Introduction to the New Testament. The Old Testament will be taught by Andy Hunter. The New Testament will be taught by David Hughes and myself. The course will run from September to May, but we're dividing it up. Each of those courses will be divided up into 5 or 6 week increments where you can hop in or hop out. So, sign up today. I hear so many of you say, I don't know this book. I don't know how to study it. This is your time. This is your year. Number five, we have a vacancy on our search team for Minister of Childhood Education, Minister of Children and Family. Our deacons recommend that Lisa Smith fill that vacancy. Next Sunday at the end of worship, our chair of deacons, Milt Ponder, will bring this as a recommendation from the deacons. But in keeping with the bylaws, I'm giving you a week's notice before we vote. Number six. If you look on the opposite side of the children's building, there's a fenced-in area that has nothing in it. That's meant for a children's playground. When Bert and Leanne Henderson passed away, we had numerous memorials come in. The stewardship team said, we need to do something specific with those monies. Through conversations with many, including the church staff, they have decided that this will be a playground in memory of Bert and Leanne Henderson. That playground will cost a little over $25,000. It's going to be top of the line, meant to last. We're less than $4,000 from reaching that goal. Already, IPTE has joined in the effort, and they have contributed close to 6,000 of those monies. But we want to give you an opportunity to finish this deal. Less than $4,000. And then number seven, you're going to hear more about this. One of the premier preachers of this country will be in this pulpit on October the 15th. He pastored the largest church in Baptist life. He fell from grace and made some egregious mistakes. When he fell beneath the radar, God started working him over. He's asked for forgiveness. He's preaching now from a depth unlike I've ever heard before. He's now preaching professor at Truett Seminary in Waco, Texas. His name is Dr. Joel Gregory. I want you to mark your calendars now for Sunday, October the 15th. Well, my dear friends and family, that's all I've got to say. We've got a response now to bless this family and to sign up and to say, so what? What does God want us to do? Let's stand now for our benediction. David, have we still got college cards that need to be picked up? They're out there right now. How many do we lack, David? 10 or 15, we need to finish that today, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's pray together. Shay, Derek, Landon, and Laney, would you join me? Let's walk to the back. Almighty God, precious Lord and tender Spirit, we love you so much. We thank you for the reality that we can begin again. And you can use us to do extraordinary things for you. May we not shy away. May we embrace the calling. May we rise to the challenge. And let God be God in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.